Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Mike Valeni. Did you know the Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, it's also a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Valeni Show with Rico, hit the follow button to get every minute of this show your way and on your time.
I do want to bring something up that we really haven't touched on last night.
Sebastian Cosa started in net and played pretty well for the Red Wings?
No. Oh. But good to hear. Dude, David Fry got hit in the face by a 99.6 mile an hour fastball.
In the face. Deflected off his bat.
Bob. Yes. He was transported to Luthen Medical Center. And they're going to further test. Afterwards, they talk like he's okay, but there's going to be an update today at some point. That was scary.
It was, and obviously, Scuba's reaction immediately, you knew something was really bad, and he felt awful. He throws the glove, covers his face, players down for a long time, lots of blood, and they stand him up. They start to, you know, they're going to cart him off, and he lets Scuba know, dude, I know it's not your fault. I was trying to bunt. It's one of those things that happens, and kind of gives him a thumbs up, which is really cool of him to do. But it clearly rattled Tarek Skubal, and he didn't want to admit that after the game, and I'm not sure why he didn't. I mean, he just doesn't want to make any excuses, but it's not an excuse, dude. I mean, every human being is going to have that feeling of being human when an accident happens. Of course you didn't mean to do it, and it's just part of the game. You know, if he's not leaning over the plate to try to bunt, it's going to be an inside pitch and you take it for a ball. But he leaned over and tried to bunt at it and it hit him right in the face. It happens. But when all the dust settles and you go out there and pitch again, the first pitch is, you know, one of these 58-footers in front of the net, in front of the catcher, and it goes past him and scores a run. And, you know, then there's a balk involved. And more chaos on the field. I mean, it's just, of course it rattles you. It's okay to admit it.
Yeah.
But he didn't want to admit it.
Let's just say that it looks like David Fry's going to be okay. I enthusiastically look forward to these tests to find out for sure. Because that was a scary, scary moment. And nobody wants that. And I thought Benetti was funny. He's like, hey, look, the priority here is Fry. But that was a foul ball, too. Just a heads up. And yeah, it sucked. That absolutely sucked. All right, so the Lions. Hey, Kang, you were out yesterday with a bad case of an allergic reaction to a
bad case in the mill.
Bad case in the mill. Do you let's get your thoughts, because that Monday night game was incredible.
What a game. What a great game. Gator, you almost nailed the score, but you nailed the fact that you said this, you thought it would be a statement game, and it was. And what I think is, when I watched that game, and I'm guilty of this, I think we did forget, a lot of people forgot, who the Lions were. And Dan Campbell said it after the Bears game. It's like they forgot we were fighters. And it's like we forgot this is one of the best teams in the National Football League. And that was a reminder to the rest of the country that we're still one of the best, and we're still to be feared, and we're still to be reckoned with. And to do it on the road against another Super Bowl caliber team, they're absolutely as good as we think they can be. And so, yeah, what a game and what a drive, the 98-yard drive, two 90-plus yard drives. Everything about it, like I said, just reminded me, hey, you know what? They're still good.
It's 23-24 is more who they, the season, the 2023 season, the 2024 season, that's more who they are than the Packer game. Packer game happened. It happened. And I was trying to figure out, because one of those Boomer Esiason deals, they talk for 6 seconds and then play a commercial,
right?
But they got to give an opinion in 6 seconds. I think it was him that called the Lions win over Baltimore the most impressive win of the season. And I'm like, huh, it trumps the Green Bay win over Detroit. Is that true? And the Green Bay win over Detroit was at home. And Lions went on the road and did it.
Well, it's also the difference between the first game of the year and the third game of the year. And you're going to make that improvement from one game to the next that everybody talks about. And I think it's also believing in what Dan Campbell said. It was communication problems in the first game. They got through it and made for a much better next two games. So, yeah, I can agree that Monday night was quite impressive. Was it the most impressive win of the year? It's up for discussion. I mean, I think it's one of the more impressive wins I've seen this Lions team have. I think it's probably top five under Dan Campbell.
It was incredible. Yeah, it was awesome.
It was great. It was the atmosphere. It was a Monday night, you know, and all. It's great. But I don't know if it was more impressive than going to Green Bay and beating Green Bay at the end of the season when Green Bay needed the win that meant nothing for the Lions. That was amazing.
It was impressive.
You know, was it more impressive than beating Tampa Bay or the Rams in a playoff game? I mean, those are more important games.
Yeah, the Minnesota game at the end of last year was really important.
It's up there, though. Like I said, I think it's probably top five.
Yeah, the comeback at Houston on Sunday Night Football was pretty impressive. But all in all, you know, it's affirmation that as long as they this year stay healthy, they should be there in the end again. Now, their path to get there might be completely different, and hell, Green Bay might be better in the end. That is yet to be determined. But it's interesting that Green Bay and Detroit have the same challenge back-to-back in Cleveland. And the Browns have a legit defense. And the question becomes is, you know, there feels like when you play the Browns, there's a number out there that they can't get to. Like if you get to 25 points, you wonder if the Browns can score more than that.
Right.
Just because of their offense is what it is. But can you do that against this defense?
Well, it's a very well-respected defense throughout Allen Park, that's for sure. Dan Campbell completely respects what they do. Their front four is as good as it gets in the NFL. I mean, Myles Garrett might be the best defensive player in the league. He's a problem, and they're going to have to find a way to keep him off of Jared Goff. This is two games in a row. The Lions' offensive line has kept the clean pocket, and Jared Goff has not been sacked in the last two games. You know, to make it three games in a row.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Rico Beard. Did you know the Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, but also a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Catch the full episode, listen to individual hours, or just jump straight to the highlights. Open up your favorite podcast app, search for Valeni Show with Rico, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way on your time.
It was going to be a really daunting task because you look at what happened with Green Bay to start that year. Again, communication issues, but some of them were just flat out getting beat, whether it was Micah Parsons coming off the edge or somebody else. So they got to pay attention, and I'm sure they are. And working hard at it. I'm like you. I feel like if you can score, I think, north of 20 points, you probably win the game.
Probably win
Cleveland
the game.
Just doesn't have much offensively. But they can get points with their defense.
Well, and then the other thing is, as much as you guard against it and say it can't possibly happen, there are letdown games.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know if you can be more, attention to detail and more fired up at home against a Cleveland team than you were on the road against a Baltimore team that's considered a Super Bowl favorite out of the AFC. I mean, right? You can try, but the players are human. You've got this gear that you get into where you're, brings out the best in you, and you know, it just feels naturally like a letdown game the next week. And Cleveland's pass rush is legit. What's amazing is Detroit and Cleveland have the same amount of sacks. So the want and the need for an edge rusher opposite of Hutch, through three games, the data that we're getting back, there's only two teams in the NFL that have more sacks than the Detroit Lions. So, you know, it's a long time to get to the trade deadline, and we don't even know who's going to be available, and will Trey Hendrickson be available, and you know, other players of that ilk that could make sense in Detroit, you know, that you really start getting to, you know, the Falcons and Leonard Floyd. That name was printed up today as a possibility. I mean, the Detroit Lions, early feedback, pass rush is okay.
Pass rush is okay. You know, if you had to say what's your number one concern for me, it ain't the pass rush.
Well, I think the one thing that came up yesterday and came up over and over again is Terrion Arnold. And, you know, I don't think the game probably, his game probably wasn't as bad as people interpret it as. And the reason I say that is because there were a bunch of coverage sacks in that game. Like the fact is the Lions pass rush got home because Lamar was looking around for an open receiver, and Terrion Arnold was a part of that. And so while he might be the guy that gets picked on in that secondary, I would like to see Terrion Arnold play better. I'm a believer that he can. It's game three of his second year. But Dan Campbell talked about Terrion Arnold today, and you will hear what he had to say as we pulled the best of what he told our morning show. And we will start playing that today at 12:20 here on Carson Anderson. And you will hear the fourth down calls. What goes into all the fourth down calls and his belief in his... All right, Dan Campbell spoke to the morning show. We'll get to the best of what he had to say. Coming up momentarily, first Tony in Madison Heights. Hi, Tony.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I was just thinking that, you know, the Tiger woes lately at the end of the season, are we making a case for bringing back Tomas, even if we got to give him a little more term? Because if these guys... I don't know. I just, you know, he's an all-star second baseman. He and Dingler are the only ones that are, what, doing okay during this problem time. And it looks like everybody else is a left-handed batter. So we're going to need, I think we're going to need Torres.
So they have a lot of decisions to make, right? Because they've got middle infielders on the way, some closer than others, like Howie Lee and Max Anderson. They've got... McGonagall, where is he going to fit into the mix? Where's Colt Keith's long-term position? And they'll have some very difficult decisions to make. I'm not sure they want to give him term. Great question.
So we're gonna get by. We're gonna get by with A-minus players when here's an A-plus guy.
Is he A plus?
Going to be an all-star.
I would argue a little bit that he's probably lost a little bit of steam here, and I
he's
don't know that.
228 since the all-star break, and a 684 OPS, and the 684 OPS is 40 points below average.
Yeah, I don't think I'd call him an A plus player.
Okay, so he's still part of the problem.
I'm not saying he's part of the... I mean,
no, but in the context of do you re-sign him, I don't think of him as an A-plus player.
I don't know if I want to give him $25 million a year or $20 million a year to come back. I'd explore it. I might see where they're at and how much money they think that he's worth, but I think the Tigers have a bunch of players that could play middle infield that they're really looking forward to seeing that'll cost nothing, and that money could be spent elsewhere and bringing somebody else in.
Same theory that Lions took with who's the guy? The guy they didn't end up signing. The
Za'Darius Smith.
Yeah. Thanks. So it's the opposite of Za'Darius Smith, or the same theory as Za'Darius Smith.
Za'Darius Smith.
I don't know if I understand.
I don't know if it's a.
Well, in other words, you're not going to pay him as much money.
Yeah, it's a similar thing to that. Sure, it's similar to that. But it's clear he wants Gleyber Torres back. I understand it. He's been a steady player. Has not been as effective in the second half, but few have been.
I shouldn't take total issue and say shut the idea down because he called him an A-plus player. I don't think there's any way in hell he's an A-plus player. He's more of a
he's a good kind player.
Yeah, he's like a BB minus player right now. But they'll have to make some decisions because the pipeline truly is about to feed this organization. The problem is with rookies is that can you count on them? And are they still trying to win? Let's see what happens the rest of this year.
Look, I like Gleyber Torres a lot.
I do too.
And I think he's been very productive for a guy who's hitting second in the lineup every night. He's got 74 runs driven in on the year. And he's hitting second every night. That's impressive. He seems to have really good at-bats. Everybody's been playing poorly since the All-Star break, with very few exceptions. But his numbers drop, but they're not god-awful. Like, they are below average on the season for the second half of the year here. But I just think there's too many guys that you want to take a look at, whether it's a Max Anderson, to see if Kevin McGonigal makes it. I mean, they've got decisions. Lynn Henning had an article in the Detroit News about Trey Cruz, who plays, one of these guys can play anywhere in the infield, also plays at center field, and he had a heck of a season. They've got guys that they could lose in free agency or the Rule 5 draft that they have to make decisions on. Eduardo Valencia is another one of those guys. He's a catch a first baseman guy. He had a hell of a year in AA and AAA. And there's going to be casualties. Are you willing to lose Gleyber Torres to let some of these other guys get a chance? I think the answer is probably yes, so that you can spend money elsewhere. So you can spend money on pitching. You know, the Scooble question is going to be a big one this offseason, too.
All right, let's get to some Lions stuff. Dan Campbell joined the morning show, and it's always great to hear from him. Win or lose, he's really interesting to listen to. And I do feel like he does a great job of conveying sort of his thoughts, what goes into every decision. And the morning show does a great job asking him questions. I feel like I go through and I highlight like 7 or 8 questions, in which case Kang always says, why don't we just replay the whole interview? And I'm like, you're right. So we try and really narrow it down to what's the absolute best of what he had to say. And let's start with the defensive game plan. I mean, they gave up 30 points, but it was about as impressive a defensive game plan you can have against Lamar and Derrick Henry and hold them, I put in quotes, to 30. I was happy with it. I think most people were. And here's what he said about the defensive game plan against Lamar and Henry.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Mike Valeni. Did you know the Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, it's also a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Valeni Show with Rico, hit the follow button to get every minute of this show your way and on your time.
You know, the idea that they gave him all kinds of looks is nothing new in football. That we, you know, he didn't know where it was coming from. We've done this, we've done that. The idea that Nowoski was a part of the game plan. If somebody had called last week before the game and said, you know what I think they should employ? I think we really need to see more of Nowoski in this game plan. I we would have been like, what?
Yeah, and yet you think back on it. It can make sense to you. This is a guy who's a good open field tackler, has good speed, and you know that's a skill set that works when you're taking out a quarterback that you don't know where he's going to be.
Do you know how many snaps he played?
Probably not many.
He played 8 snaps.
Yeah.
I feel like he was felt in damn near all eight of them. He was around the football.
This is the thing. He's just another one of these players. We talked about Zach Cunningham, who played two snaps, but they were impactful snaps.
He definitely made one play. The point being, they took a look at all of their weapons. How can we use these guys? What would surprise them might have been part of it. I mean, I would imagine that there wasn't a whole lot of, all right, when you see 53, that's Trevor Nowoski. Be careful of that. Do you think that was said? Bravo to Trevor. I sound like I'm ripping on him. I'm not at all. It's just they used a depth guy for eight snaps, and that depth guy made a difference in that game.
Yeah, he definitely made a difference. And like I said, that sure tackler, you got to have him. And I think it helped the Lions in preparation for Baltimore that they played Chicago before. Because it was the same discussion. How are they going to contain Caleb Williams? Because he's going to want to get out. He likes to make these off-platform throws and go beyond the pocket and, you know, really stretch things out, and he'll take off and run if he has to. And for the most part, they kept Caleb Williams in that pocket and eventually got to him. Well, they took it to a whole different level against Lamar Jackson, and it was brilliant.
It's such a who's who of quarterbacks that they play this year. They play Lamar. They were supposed to play Burrow. Obviously, that's not happening. They're going to get Patrick Mahomes. They're going to get Baker Mayfield, who's on fire. They're going to get Jalen Hurts, who's clearly a handful. I mean, they are going to see quarterbacks who've had a ton of success this year. And the game plan might be wildly different. But if you are just joining us, we did 2 hours of Tiger Talk to open the show. And it got to the point where it's so depressing what's happening. We could do nothing but laugh. It's unbelievable what has been just piddled away here in the last month. And it feels like there is no hope. Even though it, like, mathematically in beginning of the season, hey, it's going to come down to this. Like, they have created the scenario where the thing that would have excited us all at the beginning of the year, being tied with five games to go, awesome playoff style baseball, how much fun. They've created a scenario where it's not awesome, it's not fun, and there's no hope, which feels virtually impossible. So we've shifted gears and actually are talking some Lions here, which is way more fun. And of course, coming off the Monday night win, and Dan Campbell was on the morning show. All right, so you heard what he had to say about the defensive game plan really worked. What about the difference in the O-line between game one and game three? It is remarkable what has happened in just a couple weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, they got their stuff together. They figured out the communication issues, and you can say it's more than just playing at home where the crowd is really quiet when the offense is on the field.
Yep.
Because the Monday night atmosphere in Baltimore was raucous, but they figured it out, and these guys are playing at a whole different level.
It was one thing to see Penei Sewell struggle in week one because we knew he was capable of being better than that, right?
Well, he's one of the best tackles in football.
Exactly. Yeah. And yet the real concern was clearly guard, center, guard, Mahogany, Glasgow, Ratledge. And, you know, questions about Glasgow, is he too old? Questions about the two kids, are they any good? Man, I mean, 10 yards a clip at the end of that game, running right behind the interior of the offensive line. It's almost unfathomable what it looked like between game one and game three. Here's what Dan Campbell had to say about it. So he said something in there that I find fascinating. You call the game to help those guys too. So in the sport of football, there is an immense amount of scrutiny on play calling, right? When he says you call the game to help those guys too, meaning the young guards, I'm assuming that means we've got some blocking schemes that they've excelled at. And so we're going to try to call those plays early. So we're sitting here watching a game and we see a certain run, and we don't realize that we just see a run play. We don't realize that run play is called because Mahogany and Ratledge can handle it. Or Mahogany and Ratledge have proven they can do this. And so a game plan or a play call is centered around that. which, I mean, I guess isn't like earth-shattering analysis here, but whenever I hear that, I want to know which plays. Right. Like, let's go back. Take us back to, you know, third series, play one, first and 10. We called this play to specifically help Mahogany and Rattler, stuff like that. Like, I'm always fascinated. Okay, what does that look like on game day? Show us the plays and show us why. You know what I mean?
Is it just playing to their strengths? Is it giving them help too? By, hey, you know, the tight gonna have. It's not just you that's going towards this hole. It's also the tackle's going to join you, or the tight end's going to join you, or hey, watch what happens here with Amon-Ra St. Brown. Got lots of ways to get help in the blocking, and the Lions exploit all of it. I was so pleased in watching replays of what happened on Monday night specifically with Tate Ratledge. I think he has grown by leaps and bounds, and it's a very, very savvy addition to this team. I think I'm ready to proclaim it. I think Tate Ratledge is going to be a stud.
Kang, we just asked the audience yesterday, what's the most important thing moving forward you took from that Ravens game? And I said, it's guard, center, guard. Would you have won the top set, or is that your? Would you agree?
No, it's hard to top that because we know how this team is run, and it's run through protecting Jared Goff. If you protect Jared Goff, anything is possible with the offense. You see what he does with time, precision, no sacks taken, right? I don't know, few pressures versus the Ravens, and he's able to pick them apart. And then you add to the fact that these guys, you know, run blocking, of course, because guard, center, guard, then they can take over any game, that offense, whether it's a long drive, a explosive play with JMO. When you protect Goff, anything's possible with this team. So I don't think you could top that, honestly.
And he told us yesterday, again, super clean pocket. Super, I mean, what quarterback doesn't love that?
Nope.
All right, the fourth down calls get so much attention to the point where, did you see the Twitter poll I sent out during the game?
I did not.
It was fourth and goal, fourth and one from the three. It was when they ran St. Gibbs.
Yeah.
The handoff pitch. I tweeted out the following Twitter poll. Will Dan Campbell go for it on fourth and one here? Your two choices were yes and also yes. Those are your two choices. Yes won at 75%. Also yes got 25%. We know what he's going to go for. This is in his DNA. The Monday Night Football crew knew he was going to go for it. The Ravens knew he was going to go for it. Everybody knows Dan Campbell is going to go for it in situations where, if the question is, are they going to go for it here? The answer is almost always yes. When it's fourth and 17 from your own 10, he's not going to go for it. But if it feels like there's strategic advantage to be gained by going for it, he almost always takes advantage of it. So what goes into those decisions and his confidence? Here's what Dan Campbell said. So, again, this is one of those ones where I want to know, like, what?
Right.
You know, so when he says Goff, there's things, a number of things he does that people don't even know about. That's where I want to, and look, I'm not mad at the morning show. They have a limited amount of time. I don't want to come across as criticizing them, because you can't ask everything you want to ask when you got them for, you know, 10 minutes. But one of my questions would be, like, what? Give us an example of something Goff did, because so much of this is pre-snap. You know, sometimes a quarterback has a running back, they're in a shotgun, they have a running back off their left hip, and that running back just shifts over to the right. Yep. Sometimes that dictates the whole play. What does the defense do when the running back goes from left to right? And I've seen long, I can give long examples of stuff that I know about.
Yeah, it's I think a lot of it's coverages and, okay, hey, look, I think pressure is going to come from the left side. Get on my left side and then watch and see if the defense adjusts, and then you're going to have to adjust again.
One of my favorite examples of this came when I heard a story about J.J. McCarthy moving Blake Corum from his right hip to his left hip, and it made an Ohio State linebacker take one step to their right to when that shift was made. And J.J. immediately knew that opened up Colston Loveland on a quick down and out on a fourth and one in the game back in Ann Arbor 2 years ago. There are all kinds of little things like that pre-snap that I'd love to know why he said that about Goff, because it probably with Goff, like when Goff got held or I'm sorry, when Amon-Ra got held on that fourth and one, that changes the whole timing of that route, right?
Yeah, and he still threw it.
And he still threw it, and it was still perfect. A perfect throw. Does Goff see the hold and go, okay, I need an extra beat for this to develop because he just got hung up at the line of scrimmage, didn't get a clean, you know, didn't get off the line clean and change the trajectory of his throw or something. Like, all those little subtleties is fun to hear about. And Dan Campbell implied that there's a lot of it going on. All right, so the hot button issue yesterday was Terrion Arnold. Doug Karsh, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. All right, so one more from Dan Campbell, and this was a hot button issue yesterday. It was all about Terrion Arnold, and his answer was interesting. Where is Terrion Arnold in his development? Here's what Dan Campbell said this morning. Okay, that part at the end.
That's big.
Part at the end is maybe some other people will get some reps here. But that whole first part about Terrion, he can get better. It's a tough job what we ask him to do, but we believe in him, and we're going to give him some time. But that part at the end says to me, yeah, maybe that time will run out eventually. I think they should give him time. I think it's an incredibly difficult job. But what was clear to me yesterday is that there were more than a few people that thought Terrion Arnold is the thing that can bring this team down. Like, he's the exhaust port that if you drop a protein, two protein phasers into, the whole Death Star blows up, right?
Proton.
Did I say protein?
You did.
So, but he's the exhaust port, right? That's what people are worried about, that they're going to pick on him so much that it's going to bring down the entire planet of the Death Star that is the Lions. And I'm not a full believer yet, but I do have patience with this player in year two in an incredibly difficult job. And that's an elite offense, man. That's a really good offense for a reason. They do that to a lot of people.
Yeah. Like, I've got patience with Terrion Arnold for sure, but I do think it was very telling what Dan Campbell said, because we've said all along with Dan Campbell, we've got instances where you can go back to it and realize that what he's saying means something. He's called out players. He's called out coaches. And that's, look, I'll look at that. What he said today is a call out in quotations, because he does it with respect. And it's like, look, he's got to get better, and he'll get better. He's young. He's going to get better. In the meantime, to help him along, Amik can do some of those things too. So he's already letting you know, don't, you know, get ready, because Amik Robertson's going to play more. And maybe he starts. I don't know. But he's going to play more. And whether that's just to try to, you know, kick it in gear for Terrion Arnold, or it's because they need to make this move, that they'll do it. Much like a couple, well, 4 years ago, I guess, when he first came on, or 5 years ago when he first came on and said that about Jared Goff, a quarterback has to play better. And okay, message sent. Hey, we're going to change offensive coordinators. Anthony Lynn's not getting it done. Okay, message sent. Hey, secondary's not playing well enough. We're going to move on from our secondary coach. Okay, message sent. Periodically, he's done this, and it's worked out almost every time. So we'll see how Terrion Arnold responds to this, and we'll see how Amik Robertson responds to this.
248-539-9797. Victor in Northville. Hi, Victor.
Hey, that was great information, man. You slipped that in at the very end about Arnold, about Amik playing possibly. Mm-hmm. That's got to hurt him. But what I was going to call about is about the defense on that last series when they went for it on fourth down. The way the defense was celebrating when they were sacking and all that stuff, high five, and they're so pumped up. I bet you secretly they were probably hoping, you know, like, bring it on, man. If you guys fail, don't worry. They're not going anywhere, and they were ready to do some more celebrating.
I don't know what you're talking about in terms of what point in the game. What are you referencing?
At the very end. very end of the game when they were I think they were around like the 50-yard line and they were going
to the Lions or
I'm
the
sorry the Lions like, yeah I'm sorry the Lions yeah when the Lions were deciding to go for it on fourth down at the very last series or not the it might not have been the very
the pass
series,
to, the one that been the pass to St.
That's
Brown.
The one
yep okay
that's the one and there was like I don't know if it went to like 2 minute warning or something like that but when they made that decision prior to that the defense was celebrating like crazy. Sacking their quarterback, and
whose
they were
defense?
Just having a great,
the Baltimore defense.
Lions, no, the Lions defense, and if the Lions didn't complete that pass, that would have put the Lions defense back out there. There would have been a turnover on downs, and the Lions would have defense came back out there. And I think they were kind of chomping at the bit to get back out there. Like, don't worry, if you don't get this fourth down completion or conversion.
Okay, long story short, you think the defense was gaining in confidence at the end of the game, even if the Lions failed in that fourth down conversion, the defense had their backs.
Oh, yeah, definitely. They were, like, excited about the potential of going back out there to do some more celebrating.
Okay, thank you, Victor. I mean, I don't think you do that if you don't have faith in your defense, but I think ultimately he has faith in the offense. But Andy, you're next on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Andy.
Hey, how we doing, fellas?
What's all up?
Right. Hey, yeah, this is my second time calling into the show. Last time I called was the playoff game before the Commanders. I was worried about our pass rush getting towards the QB and, you know, Dan Campbell's record against good-looking coaches. I have a similar issue, you know, coming up with this Browns game. And I feel like everybody has an affinity towards the Browns because they're Lake Erie bros. They're on the lake with us. But the only thing that's helping me, you know, think that we're going to be okay against the Browns is David Montgomery. And, you know, a lot of things going into the season, you know, everybody kind of forgot David Montgomery is coming off the MCL injury. And I was a little worried about it, to be honest. The two-headed monster is a big part of the Lions offense. And, you know, like seeing him run and how hard he was running, you know, the other night against Baltimore was, honestly, I felt like an awesome, positive sign.
Oh, he was awesome.
Season for those.
No, David
was unbelievable.
David Montgomery was fantastic. And he looked, you know, he can make you miss and he can run through your face. Like, he's got everything you'd want in a running back. And what a 1-2 punch they have. We saw the best of David Montgomery the other night.
Yeah, it honestly, it reminded me of, I don't know if you guys are big Lord of the Rings fans, but there's a scene in Lord of the Rings, Two Towers, at the Battle of Helm's Deep when there's this Uruk-hai running with this sparkler into the wall. You know, and he's like, Legolas, shoot him down. And he shot two arrows at him, and he couldn't go down. That was David Montgomery. I mean, he was just unstoppable.
All right. There you go.
Okay, cool. Bro, I don't know what the hell you're talking about, but sure. Somewhere out there, I hope. I don't know. What do you say? I'm worried about them matching up against good-looking coaches.
I don't know
a man
what that
likes
is.
Dan Quinn. Word. And that analogy at the end, I hope 95% of our audience is going, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm completely clueless. 248-539-9797. Rod's in Royal Oak, and he's next. Hi, Rod.
Hey guys, how you doing?
What's up?
I support whatever move Dan Campbell decides to make. If you feel like Amik is better, yeah, put him there. But to ask these guys, you got to have a deep cornerback room to play man-to-man all game. And I know we nitpick at Terrion Arnold, but you still have guys like Mark Andrews, 2 touchdowns, 100 yards. That's not all Terrion Arnold. And you didn't hear his name called at all in the second half. And they had 7 sacks. That means coverage was tight from all defensive backs.
Yep.
So, I don't think he'll be the downfall, but he does have to clean some things up. And if Dan Campbell decides to switch up, then I'll find
I want to be clear here, too. And, Rod, thank you for the phone call. I mostly agree with you. Dan Campbell just kind of implied there at the end that maybe they'll do something else. I don't want this to be misinterpreted. Clearly, Dan Campbell's got the clock ticking on Terrion Arnold. This is our interpretation of what he said. You know what I mean? I don't want to misrepresent it. But he did mention, you know, maybe Terrion plays a little more. Or maybe Amik plays a little more. But let's... I want to pump the brakes before this starts to turn into something it's not.
No, I think there's a message sent.
Yeah. 248-539-9797. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, just a reminder, you can listen to this show using the Odyssey app. Download it for your mobile device today, AUDACY. Also stream it through our website, 971theticket.com. Streaming with Twitch, that's video. Go to 971theticket there with the search bar, and same thing on YouTube.
With handsome hosts.
Check us out with video. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Mike Valeni. Did you know The Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, it's also a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Valeni Show with Rico, hit the follow button to get every minute of this show your way and on your time.